Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Not everyone who has not obeyed the gospel is mean and rebellious and stubborn or loves wickedness of the world. Many are untaught. They have not yet realized the need of a Savior. Many are not Christians because they've never acknowledged the fact that they are in sin, and that they cannot save themselves by themselves, and that Jesus Christ is the only Savior God has provided. To admit these things means that one must humble himself, to sacrifice his pride, to confess that he is a lost sinner. And whether we ever admit it or not, dear friend, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Oh, sometimes people excuse themselves by saying to err is human. Well, friend, that's true, but that does not excuse. That is coming close to admitting the biblical truth that all have sinned. You see, sin is the transgression of God's law, 1 John 3 and verse 4. We're not born guilty of sin. We may well suffer many consequences of sin committed by those who have gone before us, and we may suffer because of the sins of those around us. But we all are guilty of sin because, as Romans 5 and verse 12 says, all have sinned. Nobody will ever obey what the Lord says that they must do to be saved until they admit, I have sinned. My dear listeners, sin is real. There are records of those in Scripture who sinned and who were brought to the realization that they were guilty of sin. And I want to focus a study on five characters who said, I have sinned. And we start with a man named Achan. Achan is an Old Testament character of whom we read in Joshua chapter 7. He was an Israelite who crossed the Jordan with Joshua. And as they approached the first obstacle to taking the land of Canaan, which was the city of Jericho, God told Israel he would give them the city, but they were not to take the spoils for themselves because that would belong to the treasury of God. But Achan saw the wealth around him, and he took some things and hid them for himself. Later, Israel met temporary defeat at Ai. And Joshua inquired the reason for the defeat, and God told him that there was sin in the camp. And eventually, this was discovered that Achan had partaken of that which was not his to have. And faced with his guilt, he confessed, I have sinned. He was then taken and put to death because of his transgression. And by his sin, he had caused the people of God a great suffering and a great loss. The first king of Israel, King Saul, also once admitted his sins. God sent Saul on the mission to utterly destroy the heathen and the very wicked nation of Amalek. This was divine retribution because of their evil. But Saul did not do what God told him to do. Oh yes, he won a great victory over Amalek, all right. But he spared flocks and herds, and he spared King Agag. And when confronted with this transgression, he tried to lay the blame on the people rather than accepting the blame himself. But he was condemned by God's prophet Samuel. Samuel told him to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Samuel accused him of rebellion and stubbornness. God's displeasure was pronounced against this disobedient King Saul, whereupon he said, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. 1 Samuel 15 and verse 24. But another Old Testament person, David, was guilty of a long series of sins. He was the second king of Israel, and his series of sins resulted from his futile attempt to cover his sins the wrong way. He tried to cover one sin by committing another, and all this did was to accumulate his guilt. David, who was to be the leader of his army in battle, neglected his duty and stayed behind. He caught view of Bathsheba as she was bathing and lusted for her. He sent for her and committed adultery with her. Later, it was known that Bathsheba was with child by David. And David plotted to have Uriah, her husband, return from the battle, hoping to entice him to lie with his wife, and so the father of the child would be assumed to be Uriah. But Uriah did not cooperate. He refused to lie with her. And David, in conspiracy with Joab, had Uriah placed in the heat of the battle and left alone so that he might be killed by the enemy. And this was done. Sometime later, Nathan, God's prophet, came to David and told him a parable, the parable that was designed to convict David of his sinfulness. He said, "There were two men in one city, the one rich, the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought up and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat, and drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come to him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come unto him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said unto David, 'As the Lord liveth, that man hath done this thing shall surely die. He shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing and had no pity.' And Nathan said to David, 'Thou art the man.'" 2 Samuel 12:1-7. Nathan proceeded to remind him of all that God had done for him and given to him, and yet David took the wife of one of his own loyal soldiers and sinned. And when David heard all this, he was impressed with the impact of the situation, and he said, "I have sinned against the Lord." 2 Samuel 12:13. In the New Testament, we read in Luke chapter 15 the story of what we call the prodigal son. This was one of the Lord's parables. This younger son took his inheritance early and left home, going into a foreign country. And there he wasted what he had, living riotously and sinfully. And after he had spent all his wealth, a famine struck the land, and he hired himself to another to feed swine. And he became so hungry that he would have eaten the food that was given to the swine. But the scripture says, he came to himself. He recognized his situation. He could no longer tolerate his condition. He admitted that he had refused to do right. And he finally said, "I have sinned." He resolved to return to his father and seek forgiveness, asking only to be allowed to be as a hired servant because he had wasted everything. He did go home, and there he found a loving father awaiting him. He admitted to his father just exactly what he had said he would admit. "I have sinned. I have sinned against heaven and before thee." Luke 15:18. And it was not until he realized how wrong he had been that he decided to do something about it. It was not until he realized how helpless he was and how dependent on the Father he was that he determined to humble himself and to go to his Father. There is one other who spoke these same words, "I have sinned." His name is the infamous name of Judas. In Matthew 26, we read about his plotting with the enemies of Jesus to betray the Lord into their hands. He waited until what he considered to be the opportune moment to plant the hypocritical kiss upon the cheek of Jesus to identify him from among the disciples. And after Jesus was seized, Judas began to be aware of what he had done. He returned the 30 pieces of silver to his co-conspirators, and he said he had betrayed innocent blood. "I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood." Matthew 27:4. My dear listener, as we look back over these people whose words are recorded in their confession of the guilt of their sin, we see how some sought forgiveness and others did not. There is more to being forgiven than simply admitting one's guilt. But the fact remains, none will seek forgiveness until he does admit the need of forgiveness. And none will be forgiven until he does what the Savior commands in order to be forgiven. It begins by the realization that we are guilty of sin and cannot save ourselves by ourselves. It follows by learning that God has sent a Savior into the world, that is, the Christ. It is really a futile and foolish effort on the part of any of us to attempt to deny that we have sinned. And once we know that, is it not also foolish to refuse to be saved? It is by faith, repentance, confession of our faith in Christ, and being baptized into Christ, that we can enjoy the forgiveness of sin, which we must have in order to go to heaven. And whether we ever admit it or not, there is not a single person that cannot join the chorus that says, I have sinned. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.